Turn with me, if you would, over to Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll begin in verse 14. In Hebrews 4 and verse 14, it says, "Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast to our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." You know, it's amazing as we go through this journey we call life, how many people we come in contact and what they represent. For many, the path of relationships, a lot of people don't have a relationship with God. Others, they're coming to the understanding of God, or they understand there's got to be more to this life. There's got to be more. And then, you know, because you're still going to have trials, whether you're in the church or not in the church, but it's a whole lot better to know why you're going through those trials. And finally, as God begins to reveal himself, and people do say, you know, I've come to the relationship, first generation Christians, yes, I do want a relationship with God. And they start to follow the six doctrines of Hebrews 6. That is repentance from dead works, faith towards God, baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment. And as we mature and grow, we know that our goal is ultimately to be a part of the family of God and his kingdom. And as this target is set, we chart a course according to the scriptures. We cannot lose sight of the journey itself and how much we rely on God to guide us. So the title of today's message is, it's about the journey. The journey, our physical existence, the experiences we encounter here with God's influence, providing for us understanding of how we are to live this life, so that we can help others in the futures to live their lives according to God's will. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9. I'm going to tell you to leave your marker in Hebrews because we're going to be there a few times. In Hebrews chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, it says, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of the death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." Christ learned as a physical human being, even though he created us, that he dealt with Satan firsthand as a human being. And it gave him a greater understanding as to what we were to go through. And again, our goal is to be a part of God's family, to have the spiritual existence. However, the journey itself, we cannot lose sight of. Because as you accumulate the stories and relate, you can relate those stories to generations to come. You are writing your own book of Acts. What do we have? What do we have right here? We have the written word of God. But we have a culmination of stories of lives lived and the experiences that have occurred with them. Now, none of them were perfect, except for Jesus Christ. And we see along the journey how many people fell down, got up, kept going. Some lost their way. Some came back. And some had to be corrected quite a bit. But let's go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 39. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning in verse 39, it says, "And all these," speaking of the patriarchs, "having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided for something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us." Let's continue on to chapter 12, verse 1. This is, "Therefore, We also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Brethren, we have a perfect example that lived before us, gave us the direction, the guide, the guidance that we need to be a part of the kingdom. And when we travel, sometimes we can get caught up in the destination. I know myself, when we've flown down to the feast in Mexico, and we've driven down to the feast in Mexico. We drove from here all the way to Puerto Vallarta 1 year. And I can tell you that, emphatically, that we experienced much more of that trip driving down there and seeing all the little villages in between and getting to know the people. And that's what, when you talk to Mr. Elliott and all of those who have been to Africa with Mr. Elliott, you understand the fact that when you get to know the brethren, anywhere you go in the world, you have a true experience rather than just, I'm here for the feast to see all I can see, to eat all I can eat, and to do the things that are on the vacation guide map. No. Sitting down with John Otieno Owak and all the brethren in Africa and having a cup of tea and talking to them, learning to love them, learning to understand what they have to offer. Take the time to absorb the lessons that are being taught. We have to learn to walk with God as Enoch and Noah did. And you know, the journey involves trials and temptations. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Yes, we have temptations, but we know that we have a Savior that's been in all points tempted just like us. And that's what it says here in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. It says, there has no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Rather than those sins that continue to occur that we have to eliminate, it has to hurt to say, God, you know what? I don't want to do this anymore. I really do not want to do this anymore. And it's that spiritual muscle memory that you invoke. So when you see that situation come and you step back and say, whoa, hey, I've been here before. I've done that. I don't want to do it again. Because I don't want to love the sin more than I love God. And it is the journey and the story behind the journey that resonates with you when you come to understand through the trials and afflictions that we face to merit our book of Acts, to say, hey, look, you know what? Yeah. I stand, but I stand with God. I don't stand alone. Because He is my Creator and He is my Provider. When Christ was here on earth, no one can take that time away from Him. His interactions with His disciples, the Pharisees, are transcribed, and we see true dialogue between Christ, written here, between Christ and the Pharisees and the disciples. Those weren't scripted. They were not scripted. Those were reactions that Jesus Christ knew the answer, but He didn't know always what the question was going to be. But He was able to discern, decipher, and react in a godly fashion. And that's what we're here to do, to learn to react in a godly manner. The bond of closeness that He established with the disciples that became apostles, it was the journeys that they took, the long walks from city to city. I would love to be a fly on the wall of some of those conversations that they had together. In John chapter 15, John chapter 15. Let's pick it up in verse 13. It says, greater love hath no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends, and if you do whatever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for a servant knows not what his Lord does, but I call you friends. For all things that I have heard my Father, I have made known unto you. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. What's your name? And ordained you that you should bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Not for selfish desires, not for personal gain, but for the will of God to be done in our lives. So, every journey begins with one step. And you know, the journey begins with the understanding that we need to have a relationship with God. Now, you in this room understand that. You understand, I'm here for a reason. I'm here because, you know what? God is calling me. Many are called, few are chosen. But as we read in Psalms chapter 100 and verse 3, you can write this down. It says, Know ye that the Lord, he is God, that he has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So many in the world right now are being led by the God of this world, and he's blinding them. And as it says, we know that God's going to have, he has the ultimate master plan. Big picture. Saying, hey, look, you know what? It may not be in this lifetime, but it may be in the next lifetime. He wants all mankind to succeed if they are given that opportunity. So, after those, many of us in this room have been read the chapter, Acts 2:38, and we've repented, we've been baptized. Then life begins, and trials come at us. But you can understand why you're going through the trial. And you know, like I said before, there's going to be trials whether you're in or out of the church. But it's a whole lot better if you know why you're going through the trials. Establishing the relationship comes as our training ground begins. We come to understand that we cannot grow without challenges, and facing adversity is a way to grow in God's grace and knowledge. And as we continue through this journey called life, you're going to see different terrains. And when you look over the summits and peaks, you know that there's going to be ups and downs in your life. We're faced with many trials on the Northwest. We've lost one of our beautiful sisters, Karen De La Fuente. We have a brother, Ron, who's going through a trial. It's our job in this journey to pray for those people. Mr. Gray and Mrs. Gray, pray for those people and the many other people who are going through trials. Those are just two names that come to mind right off the bat. But it's our job not to say, well, you know what? That trial's over with. I'm going on to the next one. No. Hey, you know what? Let's stop. Let's take time. Let's look at what God has to say in the scriptures and understand and take on the mind of Christ, so that we say we have the compassion, we have the love, we have the willingness to do the things that are pleasing unto God. We have to take the time to understand what he expects from us so we can establish that relationship with him. We look to God for answers and we move forward in faith, not wavering from the goal or eluding the challenges that are set before us. Turn with me, if you would, over to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19. Very familiar scripture. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, it says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and cursings. Therefore choose life, that both you and your seed may live. Choose life, brethren. Why? Because God commands us to do so. You know, the journeys, challenges, there are opportunities to grow. And when we see God intervene in our lives, and we've had as many trials as we've seen here lately, we've seen also several healings. And you know, that's part of life. And when God does intervene, sometimes he intervenes a little, sometimes he intervenes a lot. But we have to continue to move forward on our knees, loving God, learning to love like God, learning to establish that relationship so that the journey, when we see all of us happening in our lives, we're not so caught up in getting to the end point as much as knowing that the end point involves our taking on these lessons so that we can pass those lessons along later in life and in the world tomorrow. So, what do we have to do? We have to make a decision. And hopefully it's according to God's will. See, because when you make no decision, it is a decision. You can't look at what people have done. Look at the past. Let's look in the Bible. If I were to bring up about Adam and Eve, and how that Eve's choice to take the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. Wow. What a course we've been put on. Abraham taking on Hagar instead of being patient and waiting on God. These are long-term effects over millennia that we're looking at. Some of these decisions between Ishmael and Isaac. Wow. Wow, what a decision. And you, what's your name? You have the same responsibility. The decisions you make today go long, broad, and deep as to what happens with those people that you come in contact with their lives. It's not just you. It's about the people you come in contact with. If I were to leave here today and walk outside and start smoking and cursing, you would say, huh? I can't believe anything that guy says. We have to live the life according to God's will, not just in front of church brethren, but every day. I mean, when you look at the root causes of so much division right now in the world, we have to understand how deep and how broad of impact you have, no matter how little you think it is, when you do something or say something. When those people come up to you, and it's happened to everybody in the church, I remember you when you were in YOU. You do? That was 30 years ago. Yeah, and you did this, this, and this. I did. Was it good or bad? It was good. Oh, yeah. Ooh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. But it happens. I had sent, the other day, I met a gentleman that used to be, I used to work with. And I hadn't seen him in about 20 years. And his son came over for a visit down at the shop, the print shop. And he was saying, you know, I remember Dan for this. And I remember Dan for that. And I didn't remember any of it. But it resonated with him, what I said, what I did, and it wasn't bad. Wasn't always good, but it wasn't bad. But you know, you are, many times, the only Bible people are going to read. So you have to be in accordance with God's will. Turn with me over to Psalm chapter 119. Part of our journey is to travel wisely. And we have to travel wisely by staying on the lighted path. In Psalms 119, verse 100, let's begin here. As in 100, it says, I understand more than the ancients because I have kept your precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Though your precepts I understand, therefore I hate false ways. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. We have to choose wisely when we talk to people. Unfortunately, I work downtown, so there's a number of homeless people that I encounter on a daily basis just because you walk across the street. And you know, sometimes you have to choose wisely what words, because in their mind, I had one gentleman walk up to me and he was telling me about something that happened in his past. I had no clue as to what he was talking about, but he was telling me all about it as if I was his best friend. Ultimately, I just talked to him for a few minutes and, you know, it just tried to leave a positive light just to say, look, you know, things can get better. Just have to look to trust in God. You know, when that fight or flight mentality takes over, you have to stand firm in your calling. And as it says in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13, I'll just read it to you. And Moses said unto the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you this day. For the Egyptians whom you have seen this day, you shall see them again no more. I was listening to a sermon from Mr. Mark Mickelson this morning. Same thing, talking about standing still. Brethren, we're heading towards times when you are going to be faced with situations to where you're going to have to make a choice and have faith so that you can continue on this journey. And whether or not you take the time to do it according to God's will is how much influence God has inculcated into your lives, into your heart, to understand, hey, look, I have a choice, but I've been trained for this moment. I've been trained for this moment. And the same thing, the gentleman I talked about at the beginning of the sermon, when he had just missed out on the Korean War, and he wasn't in the church, but he said, you know, he had been training, and he was a Ranger in 82nd Airborne. And he said, you know, he said, why would I go through all this training not to use it? So he volunteered to go to Vietnam. And then when he got there, he made it for his first year. And then he was coming back, and he was jumping. They were doing jumps in Washington, D.C. And the lady that was in charge of the Special Forces groups, she said his name. And he says, oh, no. She said, yeah, you're going back. You're going back. He said, the first time I volunteered, the second time they took me kicking and screaming. He says, I did not want to go back. But you know, as it says, let's turn over to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14. We have to travel wisely. We have to stand firm in the calling that God has given us. And as it says here in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14, it says, enter not into the path of the wicked and go not the way of the evil man. Avoid it. Pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away unless they cause some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just is a shining light that shines more and more unto that perfect day, when we can be converted in a moment of a twinkling of an eye, or raised at the last trump, to know God's will and to know God's way. See, mimicking worldly behavior does not endure you to God. It sends a signal of vulnerability. as Abraham did in Genesis chapter 12 with the king of Egypt, telling Sarah, don't say you're my wife. Tell him you're my sister. Yeah. No. But you know, it was an example that was recorded, just like there's many examples that are going to be recorded about your life of what not to do. In 1 Samuel chapter 26 through 6 through 10, 1 Samuel 28, 6, and I'll just paraphrase it here, it was talking about Saul when he went to the witch of Endor. And you know, how far from God did he have to be to look to someone with divinations to try to conjure up Samuel? You know, in verse 29, excuse me, 1 Samuel chapter 28, verse 9, it says, and the woman said unto him, behold, you know Saul, and I have done. How is it that he hath cut off those with the familiar spirits and wizards out of the land? Wherefore you say that you layest a snare for my life and caused me to die? And Saul said to her, by the Lord, saying, as the Lord liveth, there shall be no punishment happen to you for this thing. No, I won't punish you. I'll go ahead and just tell me what's happening. No. Brethren, we don't want to go that way. And as Mr. Elliott mentioned last week, you know, friendship with the world, as it says in James 4:4, is in enmity with God. We don't want to be friends with the world. But see, we have to come to understand in this journey called life, there's no amount of aid that God will not provide for you. He wants you to make it as long as you're willing to follow the path that he has chosen for you. And again, we have a high priest who was tempted in all points just like us. Just like us. And you know, this is just a very brief summary of what Christ did and what some of our apostles and some of the patriarchs did. But as it says in John chapter 21, verse 25, you can write that down. And there are also many other things which Jesus did, the which, if it should be written with every one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen. What is recorded is ultimately how our Creator responded to any and all sin offered up to him by the adversary. And he chose not to participate in any of it. And we have to do likewise. That's why we have to take on the mind of Christ, as it says in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant. And he was made in the likeness of men. And being found and fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. How about you, brother? Are you willing to be obedient unto death? We don't know what God has in store for us, what trials are lay ahead of us. But we have to be willing to do whatever God would ask us to do on this journey. So as we follow the path, continue to follow the path, as it says in Psalms chapter 27, verse 1. You can just write that down. It says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of my enemies. As in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 25. I want to read this to you also. It says, let thine eyes look right on, and let your eyelids look straight before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all the ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. That's us. That's who he's talking to, is us here today. We don't want to follow the evil ways that Satan has laid out for the majority of mankind that's following right now. We want to go God's way. You know, it's amazing sometimes how we want to hang on to certain sins. And sometimes we bury it so deeply, it's so inbred into our subconscious mind that we can't even recognize it. Now, other people can see it, plain as day. But sometimes for us, we have to come to the realization that, man, I need to make a change. I need to do things differently. As Albert Einstein said, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing expecting different results. We have to want God's way more than our way. We have to heed the warning signs that are along the journey. When God says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as he says in Exodus 31:13, we need to keep it. And you know, when you think about Israel, man, they must have had a lousy GPS system because they were out in that same desert for 40 years. But they wondered why? So much because they only wanted their own way. They didn't want anything to do with God and teaching them his way. And you think about this and how that he had to teach them the Sabbath through manna. Now, if you want to hear the rest of this story, you got to follow me down to Yuma. That's the next phase. I've already told the Northwest people when they came over here, I was going to talk about the path. Now, if you're going to Yuma, I'll tell you about manna. No, we have to understand it was unbelief and a strong desire to continue the life that they lived, not wanting God to direct them. And they couldn't enter the promised land. So the summary of mankind, creation without a creator, that's what they want right now. They don't want to follow God. We have to want to follow God. We have to want God's way of life more than we want our own will. We have to recognize the signals that are coming at us. Whoa, I've been here before. That looks familiar. Yeah, it may be green this time, but it's still the same thing. I cannot afford to do that again. I'm going to go the other direction, or I'm going to stand my ground. Better yet, I'm going to kneel down and pray about it and get rid of that. Let it pass right by me. And as we mature in the faith, we can just see how much we have to overcome when we look at the terrain in front of us. So we know that this journey is a long journey. We don't know how long, though. So thusly, we need to do God's will whilst there's time to do God's will. We got to make hay while the sun is shining. In conclusion, brethren, we must learn to love like God loves and come to a greater understanding that the kingdom is our goal, but the journey determines how our history is recorded. We have to overcome, just like our elder brother overcame. And as our book of Acts is being written and recorded, we know that through this recorded history, God is a merciful and loving God. There is repentance. A man after God's own heart was an adulterer and a murderer, but he didn't stay that way. Speaking of King David, another man that wrote the majority of the New Testament was killing Christians as much as he could until Christ told him, "Follow me." We have to recognize this journey through life is shaping our minds and our thoughts and the process, the way we think, the way we breathe, the way we live. And it has to be according to God's will, filled with love, having a heart that's desirous of God's will, mercy, understanding, and wisdom to do the things that God would have us do. Let's continue to move forward on this thing called life's journey.